Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is James Dobson, and I'm the host of Family Talk, and I welcome you all. We are going to be talking with three men here today that have a story to tell and have a ministry to share, and I'm very excited about having them here. It's a full studio because Brian McNulty, our vice president of media, is here with us too to help me with this conversation. And are you excited about it? You know what's coming, don't
you? I'm very interested to learn about the Band of Brothers and all the touch points. We have a lot of common ground, so I'm anxious to get into it.
Well, let's talk about Band of Brothers, because the three men that are here have formed a local ministry. It's based in Colorado Springs, and it bears that name, Band of Brothers. And we're going to get into this in just about a minute. But I want first to introduce the three guests that are with us today. The first is Vance Brown. Vance is the co-founder of Band of Brothers. He is also the founder of the Classical Academy, which is legendary in this area. That's the largest charter school in Colorado. Vance graduated summa cum laude from Wake Forest University, also Phi Beta Kappa. He has a degree in economics and computer science, and he went on to the University of North Carolina School of Law, and he graduated with honors there. This is a very impressive man, and I'm delighted, Vance, to have you here.
That's a pure honor and privilege. Thank you so much for
having us.
You're
married to your wife, Betsy?
Betsy, for 29 years, correct.
And how old are your children?
So I have a son, Colin, who's 25. I have a daughter, Noelle, who is 22, and a youngest son who is 19.
You almost got it done, right?
Almost empty nesters, in fact, this fall.
Also with us today is Matt Daly, pronounced Daly, but spelled D-E-A-L-Y. Matt is the executive director of Bear Trap Ranch, and they serve ministries and groups of all kinds across the nation for the kingdom. He received his MBA from Duke University. He also got his degree in Christian studies from Regent College in Vancouver, Canada, and he's been married to Kim for 32 years. And Matt, you have five sons and one daughter.
That's correct. One daughter-in-law.
And you've been very busy. Are they grown?
They are. They're ages 20 to 30. So we actually have stepped across the threshold of emptiness, and it's wonderful as well. But it's all our boys are doing great. Love them. It's been a wild ride.
You know, when our youngest went off to college, I thought I couldn't stand it. I had read about it. I had written about it. I had counseled people on it. I had read books on it. And I was totally unprepared for it. And when we were in the car going to the airport to take him off to college, I got about a mile from the airport, and I realized that parenting is over. Mm-hmm. That period of my life that I cherished, that I loved being a father. Mm-hmm. And I would still be a father, but I knew Ryan would not ever be at home the same way. He's a go-get-it kind of kid. And I began to cry, and I couldn't stop. I don't cry a lot, but I cried. I got to the airport. We walked to the gate. I couldn't stand there. I walked down the concourse and back. He got on the plane. I got in the car to come home, and I couldn't stop crying. And we got home and pulled into our driveway, and sitting there was Ryan's little car. And I knew that an era had passed. I went into the little bedroom where the crib had been. I sat on the floor and cried.
Wow.
I cried for 3 days.
Wow.
And then I got over it, and it sounded like a pretty good idea. It stayed quiet and clean. And there's a time to move on, right?
I experienced some of those moments as well.
Then you
get beyond it, and you understand it's a new season, and all the seasons of our life
part
have
of the
depth
plan.
And meaning. And yeah, you bet.
I bet you were talking to a lot of other people who have cried those tears too.
Fortunately, we really have a beautiful community of friends who are all experiencing these same things about the same time. So it's wonderful to have that support.
Well, our third guest is Pete Gannon. He is president of Next Direction, an international video production company founded in 1999. He's also co-founder of Band of Brothers. Pete has been married for 29 years to Mary, and they have 4 children and 1 granddaughter.
Such a privilege to be here, Dr. Dobson.
Well, we got a lot of kids represented around here. All right, let's get into the meat of it. Vance, what in the world is Band of Brothers?
We have a mission statement. I guess I can start with that. We offer the brotherhood of Christ to men that desire to move from success to meaning, addictions to freedom, and from selfishness to God's call. So that's there's a lot that you can unpackage there, but
Are those 3 problems that men typically have?
Yes. We think the overriding problem, I mean, Thoreau said it best, that the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation. And so to answer your question, I think we still live lives of desperation, but we're just not quiet about it.
What are the 3 again?
From success to meaning. Okay, so a higher call.
So there's a lack of meaning.
Lack of meaning. You know, right. I think when we feel this area of desperation, it's like, well, is this as good as it gets, right? And then from addictions to freedom, I think, you know, all men in some way have found something addictive to get through it, right? And sometimes it can be some healthy addictions, such as like exercise, you know, whatever we need to do to deal with some stress, which could be a healthy one. But a lot of men, as we know, and we've all been through it, have had some unhealthy addictions. And then, you know, from selfishness, I think, you know, our whole economy is, Adam Smith says, driven by self-interest, right? But I think God's bigger than just our self-interest, but can we have a higher call from selfishness to God's call, God's
calling?
Now,
you saw these characteristics in yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
It's hard to admit that. You had to choke a minute there.
I want to say quite how, you know, yes, absolutely. It was, again, I relate. I've said the word desperation maybe 4 or 5 times. I just think that word so describes how I felt during so many years.
Now, Vance,
yes.
you at least have been a wealthy man. You sold your company for a lot of money. And you've been successful in about everything you've done. Where is the desperation in that?
Well, I think one of the most desperate moments of my life was when I had my biggest call, first time of a payout. Because, you know, I grew up I'd say lower middle class family. You know, I remember the moment clearly when all of a sudden my life changed because I looked at the bank account after a closing of a transaction. And that I felt desperation in that moment because I realized that didn't do it either.
Making a lot of money did not satisfy.
Solomon has said it well, right? That nothing new under the sun there, that even that, even the money, having some money in that season was not satisfaction. In fact, it scares you to think, well, if that's not going to do it, what the world offers, you know, what can?
Well, Brian, let's get on to the other 2 guests. You want to introduce one of them?
Sure. Pete, I'm very interested to hear about your video skills. I'm a videographer by trade, and we believe here at Family Talk that using new media is a wonderful way to communicate the message and to draw in more people. So tell us a little bit about your early days of making videos and how this came to be today. Uh-huh.
Well, originally, I think just because of my upbringing, I wound up being an air conditioning service technician. And it wasn't until I started having kids that I realized that, you know, there's something else that's being pulled out of me. And so my wife suggested that I start taking some video classes, and I found something that really connected with more of who I was. Long story short, I wound up going on a short-term missions trip to Colombia, South America during the whole time when Pablo Escobar was doing his work. And my wife was pregnant with our 3rd, But she had the courage to say, no, I think you still need to go. And I did. And that was a life-changing moment for me. I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. And so the Lord has kind of brought me along, helped me hone my craft to grab, I think, heartfelt stories. I think God has given me insight into people's hearts and given me the ability to pull out story from tragedy and ultimately, hopefully, pulling together something, weaving together a story that helps people see how God can change lives, how God transforms. And so it's not been easy. There's been, like with anything, when you take things on, I was a candidate for becoming a missionary to Belgium with Greater Europe Mission and so on. But the first man that really believed in me was Vance Brown and gave me a chance to live out what God has called me to do.
Pete, there are tears in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something there that touches your heart to this day.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Vance, because I was an air conditioning guy. And how do you put those two worlds together? They just don't relate. And Vance saw something in me that I knew was there, but he was willing to give me a shot, willing to allow me to exercise my gifts. And I was the second or third hire at Foundation of the Heart, which I think a lot of his friends were saying, you're crazy to hire a videographer to do ministry, you know.
Vance, is that what you're trying to do with Band of Brothers, to reach out to men who have kind of hit a wall?
I think it's more about I've not yet met a man yet who does not need to be believed in. I mean, this is more of a pay it forward. Like I had in my hours and days and years of desperation, a man by the name of Brent Curtis, who changed my world because he saw, I mean, we had enough relationship where he knew the mess in me, the ugliness in me, and yet still believed in me when I couldn't even believe in myself. And it was the most transforming experience and motivation I've ever had in my life, when someone can see something in me that I could not see even in myself. I think every man needs that, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably one of the core fundamental parts, themes of our ministry.
We want to explore that more because, again, desperation and great success in life are usually not thought to be partners. Mm-hmm. They don't go together. Mm-hmm. But something was going on inside of you I want to know more about. And Matt, we need you to tell us your story as well.
Yeah, that's a little hard to...
Whoa. Yeah.
My story is similar and very different. You know, we all have our own journeys as men. But I think a common theme that we all share is that at some point in our lives, we found that we had leaned our ladder on the wrong wall. You know, it was a climb and it was successful and we got to a high point. And then you look around and you say, wait a minute, was this what life was truly for? For me, I was trying to do a great job of being a husband and a father and raising five boys. You know, the allure of a successful corporate career was great. And I was very successful in telecommunications and it was all going great. To a certain extent, my wife and I came to a point where we said, you know, are we just on autopilot? Because everything seems so good. You know, what's wrong with the picture? And I think I found that that there was just a different path that God was calling us to. And we had to wrestle with that in a deep and real way.
And then that other path was ministry?
We didn't know. And this is where I think I was trying to live out what we believe in as Band of Brothers before I even knew about it. My wife and I, we gathered our community around us and we selected couples to walk life with us and to help us understand what we felt God was trying to speak to us. And so it was in community. And that's one of our little taglines for Band of Brothers. We talk about real life transformation happens locally, in community, and over time. that those are the three trademarks of life transformation, locally, over time, and in community. We found that that eventually led us to unplug from the corporate world. And I had had a dream in my heart that God had put in me as a very young man to go to seminary. So we, and I had been very deeply impacted by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in college and beyond. So we started trying to figure out how could we go to Regent College. We've got five sons. Our oldest one is 13, and we're going to move all of us to a foreign country so that Dad can go to seminary. And we did it. I really can't look back and say how, because it seems absolutely impossible. But we did. You know, a year in Vancouver taught us a lot of things. It really took my wife and I to a point of complete breaking down of who we thought we were in our marriage. We jokingly say, what a wonderful thing, go to seminary and get a divorce. Well, thankfully, we didn't get a divorce. We also say we had that golden thread of our relationship with Jesus between us. But about midway through my year in seminary, it was pretty desperate, very desperate.
Now, I want to explore the term band of brothers just a little bit, because it has a history to it. It goes back to Shakespeare. When he wrote about King Henry V and Agincourt, which was a huge battle that changed all of history at that time. And they called themselves a band of brothers who were outnumbered, I think, 5-1.
Overwhelming odds.
Yeah, and they won. And it's a phenomenon of history, what occurred there. If people don't have time or haven't taken time to read that story from Shakespeare, it's a wonderful story, and there's been a movie about it. Okay, band of brothers. In that case, it was warriors. It was people who put their lives on the line and fought for something they believed in. We come on up now to World War II and the 101st Airborne Division, Easy Company. There was a movie about that, and they called themselves a band of brothers. This company, a small band of men who not only fought together but died together and became bonded together as a band of brothers. Now, did you lean on that historical understanding? I guess, Vance, you in our very early days.
Yeah, we adopted and adapted the term Band of Brothers before the HBO movie, so we weren't really, utilizing that as a reference. But the Shakespeare and the Henry V, I mean, that absolutely impacted, I know, me at the time, because you have this king who is trying to inspire, let's call it, men who were kind of broken, beaten down. They were very tired. They were outnumbered. They really had nothing else to give. They were kind of done. And really, the army there, if you think about it, he was a king, but he was talking to a lot of, let's say, peasants.
Commoners, anyway.
Commoners, the most commoners. But he was inviting them into something so much more by saying, yeah, you shed your blood with me. If you go with me into this battle, and you shall be my brother. Now, what does that remind you of, right, in terms of the King of Kings and inviting us to be a brother? And you know, that, you know, even so yes, the where did Shakespeare, I wonder where he got the story, right? I mean, it certainly goes, I think, further back into the whole gospel invitation.
Supposedly, it's history. Supposedly, that's what happened. Well, he put the words.
Right, but the way Shakespeare invited men into something larger, even if it meant their very lives. Isn't it interesting that men with the right invitation are willing to sacrifice their very lives if the story is big enough and large enough? I think it's in our DNA to desire to be a part of that kind of story.
Now, Pete, what's it mean to you to be within a band of brothers? I mean, you got three of them here, but you all have, I think, what, 300 chapters? Is that correct? Did I read rightly?
You could call them platoons, you can call them cells, but really we believe there are far more because the way our organization, it's very viral, the way it goes. And then if you then choose as a group to get online and register your platoon, you can. So, but yes, at least 300, let's call it cells of Band of Brothers.
So it's not highly organized. They're each independent. and they do their own thing, but they're trying to work toward this mutual masculine support at a time when it's not easy to be a man.
Absolutely.
Well, and I have a question.
Yes.
As you encounter these men who are hurt and looking for help, and they don't know how to get started, what is one of the most common themes or issues, or are there a few that you see it and go, well, this is what we see all the time, financial insecurity, masculinity in today's society? What are the touch
points? Now, what's broken them?
Yeah.
Why are they struggling?
Well, are there common signs on entry?
I would say they're living life alone. I think that's one of the common threads.
Now, wait a minute. Men. They're all married. Mm-hmm. They certainly true of the three of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, got lots of kids.
I think the alone factor, you can have that. You can have good friendships, but really in getting down to, you know, the issues that don't make sense in life, the issues of, you know, I don't understand. I've got a pretty good job, a good paycheck, but I still feel empty inside. And I don't have anybody I can talk to about what I'm struggling with. And I think certainly in the Christian world, you know, if you start talking about certain sins, there's a, you know, like a push away where you may not be able to be so free to talk about some of your struggles.
You're talking about pornography?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big one.
Infidelity?
Yes.
It just carries, you know, inability to provide, you know, not feeling like a man. What does it mean to be a man in today's world? How are the definitions of that? I think at our core, if it goes deeper, I think in our DNA, we desire to be loved unconditionally, right? I mean, there's something there in terms of our design to be loved unconditionally. I think maybe rightfully so, we think, well, you know, I don't think I'm really loved. If they only knew these deep, dark things I struggle with, could be addictions, it could be fears, right? And if they only knew that, they wouldn't really love me the way they say they love me. So I better keep that underground, below the waterline, because if that were exposed, there's no way I could be loved, you know, unconditionally.
Because this thing I'm carrying around is different than everyone else. I'm probably the only one in the room that has it.
Exactly.
That's what they think.
Yes.
Brian, our time is gone. We're just barely getting our teeth into this.
I know.
The essence of it is Band of Brothers is an organization made up of a lot of cells or individual similar groups. Where men have found it beneficial to, as Christians, to meet each other's needs and to deal with the struggles that they're going through and to follow God's calling.
I was going to say, Dr. Dobson, we call it being able to walk in relationship with each other transparently and in secretless relationship. We feel there's an element there, and I'm sure both Vance and Pete could talk about this absolutely, that When we are able to unburden our souls at a core level and feel forgiveness from our brothers, acceptance from our brothers, have them put their arm around us, says, we're not leaving, you know, because we struggle with the same thing. So often men say, I couldn't talk about this because I thought no other man experienced this. No other man was doing the things I was doing. Yet that's the lie that the enemy has against us all the time. And so when we get to a point where we can talk about the things that have derailed us and be very honest, transparent, secretless about our lives, that can encourage a man who's next to us to do the same thing. And the life that it brings is just beautiful to see.
The truth shall set you free.
The truth shall set you free.
Well, we're going to run out of airtime here very quickly, but I like where we're going. And I'm beginning to understand what you guys are all about. And we will pick it up right here next time. I like where you guys are going and what you're trying to do, and yet we need to know more about it. I'm going to start by asking the question, why do you not find that fellowship in your spouses? Don't answer. You've got 24 hours, and we're going to come back to it. Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
This ministry is a great example of iron sharpening iron. I'm Jim Valdeheis, and you've been listening to Family Talk. If you long for that kind of relationship with men of like-minded faith, or if you know a man who would benefit from a band of brothers, then I urge you to get in contact with one of our guests from today. We have a link to their website on our broadcast page, and that site will explain everything you need to know to start a band of brothers in your community. You can find us at drjamesdobson.org. There's also a link to Vance Brown's book, No Matter the Cost. These real-life stories of hardship and triumph will inspire you to live a more authentic life starting today. Again, you can find links to both resources on drjamesdobson.org. And be sure to tune in next time to hear more about how men can support each other through the struggles and challenges facing them today. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.